This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the second hour of the program. Coming up, there's more fear being spread around about a bird flu. Aria's got that story.
Yeah, I don't know how much fear-mongering is actually doing. It's more like another one of these massacres, one of these holocausts in the animal kingdom that we've been seeing over and over throughout the last, you know, few years that just tend to sort of get ignored. But obviously the reason they're doing it is because they're terrified of bird flu, avian flu, whatever right. They're calling it these days.
We can talk about that on the way here. Plus more on the discussion about Twitter. Elon Musk buying in at over 9% ownership of the publicly owned media corporation or a social media corporation. We'll talk about, you know, what is he up to? What's the strategy or what could be the strategy here? Nobody is alleging that people should consider forming some sort of a group to try to take control of Twitter. And
that doesn't constitute an allegation, it's a suggestion.
We'll talk about that. Is it a good idea? But first, let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. Dan is in Nebraska. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Dan.
Thank you, guys. So I was listening to your guys' segment from mostly before the last one about Ukraine and Russia, and I did find some of your takes a little problematic.
Okay, why is that?
So
that's an interesting word.
What do you mean?
Just go ahead.
Okay. The first thing is that I don't think that you should be trying to equalize the credibility that both Russia and the United States have when, as far as credibility goes, you know, Russia has, as a country anyways, has a lot less of it than the United States.
Why?
You're absolutely right. They have a lot less betrayal and outright lying to their populations than the United States government does.
That's completely untrue, Ari.
Are you saying the current Russian government? Are you excluding the Soviet government from that?
I certainly am. I mean, the Russian government has not gone after any journalist for releasing evidence of war crimes or anything like that.
That's not the Russian government's gone after a lot of journalists.
Right? Yeah.
And we can't just allege that. Give me an example. Right, because
Russians
I give you an example.
Shut down the liberal radio station and the liberal TV station, but they didn't,
they didn't arrest anyone
over it. But look, we don't live there, Aria. I don't think you should be able to just claim across the board
at Pussy Riot at their
bedroom. They locked them in prison.
I understand where the two of you are coming from, yes. And you're right. And under normal circumstances, I wouldn't say that the Russian government was more credible. However, the caller here is saying that the United States government is clearly more credible, and he has no evidence either.
Well, yeah, that's a ridiculous claim. I mean, they're both governments. They're both liars.
I'm just countering his claim.
The United States has an incredible government.
You guys are trying to say that it's all a wash, and it's not just a wash. Okay, one of these governments there are so many levels of accountability. You know, there are different ways that the different branches, the different people in the departments make sure that the information they get.
who has been held accountable for our war crimes in Iraq?
Which one? Oh, okay.
Yes, so, that's a good place to start. Which one?
No. I'm sorry. You guys, when you say war crimes, I don't think in many of these cases that you're actually talking about war crimes as most people would.
How about the murders of journalists as exposed by Julian Assange?
For you to call Biden a war criminal is obviously not taking the term war criminal very seriously.
He's complicit in war crimes because he's... He's complicit in war crimes because he has an absolute responsibility to prosecute the war crimes that took place under earlier administrations, and instead of doing that, he is participating in a cover-up by continuing to demand the extradition of Julian Assange instead of
looking into
war crimes that were exposed by Julian Assange and prosecuting the perpetrators
I understand your passion about this.
the whistleblower.
Assange aside, the president has no jurisdiction to investigate anything. That would be on Congress, not the president.
He has, there's a whole
he's got the Department of Justice.
He runs the executive branch. That makes him commander-in-chief of the military, which there are military investigative units that should be investigating U.S. war crimes. He runs the district attorneys, okay? The Department of Justice could look into this.
They're too busy with Crypto 6, though, so they don't
have
time.
They're busy prosecuting us when there are war criminals that we know about that haven't been touched.
Yeah, and you're just blowing it off, Dan, like it's no big deal. How about which government, I'm trying to remember, which government lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq?
Oh, yeah.
They were not lying about it. They were just wrong. But being
what makes you think they were telling
the
truth?
It's not the same thing as lying.
Did you just graduate from, like, a high school history class? I mean, because you're just the level of ignorance that you're portraying here is just shocking to me.
No, you guys are making the words like war crimes do a lot of work here. And what you're doing is
does the murder of civilians constitute a war crime?
To be honest, I don't know necessarily.
Yes, it does.
How about the murder of journalists?
It sounds like it would be a war crime.
It does sound like that. Well, that's exactly what Julian Assange uncovered: war crimes. And until Biden takes some responsibility and some action against U.S. war crimes, I am not going to take him seriously talking about anybody's war crimes.
How about Abu Ghraib? That's an obvious example.
No, yes.
They made the person who was head of the prison at that time the new CIA director.
Have you heard of Abu Ghraib, Dan? How old were you at the time?
I'm 23 right now.
So you were barely out of diapers.
Well, look into Abu Ghraib. They're not teaching anything in the public schools. So now that you're out, it's time to learn about the world.
Right.
And one of the things you need to know is right now, your government is doing things that you think only other people's governments do.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying the United States never does anything in the ballpark of any of the things Russia's government does. But as far as the Russian campaign to spread disinformation to other countries, which is like what they're doing with this whole Bucha thing, that is something the United States does not do.
Well, have you ever heard of COVID-19? I mean, that's all they did.
How many lives did they spread?
What are you talking about, Ian?
What sort of disinformation did they spread about COVID-19?
Hold on, because that's
all the vaccines are completely safe, and if you think there might be a side effect, you're a conspiracy theorist and a lunatic, okay?
Masks are effective.
Yes.
We can give them an actual factual one,
though. The origin of COVID-19 was a wet market and not the U.S.-funded Chinese bioweapons lab that just happens to be located 8 miles from the wet market.
Well, what about the Tuskegee experiments?
Oh, yeah, now you're going a little bit further back.
Right, but we're going that into solid factual territory at that point.
Do you know what those were, sir?
Yeah, I know what the Tuskegee experiments were.
Can you recap for us?
If I remember correctly, that's when I think some black people were given HIV by, like, some type of department, like the CIA or something, and they test out a medicine.
You're close. It was syphilis, and they were then not treated, even though syphilis is easily treated with antibiotics. So they watched them decay physically and mentally, and instead of treating them, they just took notes. Okay, then you have MK Ultra, in which people, U.S. citizens, innocents, were given psychedelic drugs, which I myself enjoy.
Wait, what does this have to do with information that they're using to against other governments? We're talking about Russia saying that Ukraine made disinformation in the case of this, of the Bucha, can we come back to like how they're, what they're doing, to, like lies they're giving to other countries?
When- so lies to us don't count. let's talk about that when we come back.
We'll
can
continue.
You stick with
yeah,
us?
Yeah, I'll hold on to Dan here. We can continue. There's no doubt that the Russian government is lying to its own people. That's what governments do.
Sure.
And to act like the U.S. government is somehow less culpable for lying to people is just completely ignorant to the way things are. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us here. It is Free Talk.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Live. You can join us here. Bring up whatever's on your mind at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. See, nobody and Aria in the studio here tonight. Don't forget, you can join us online anytime you want. And you can help support the show over at amps.freetalklive.com like Dale has done. Dale is a gold-level supporter of the Amps Patreon. Gold meaning that she's doing at least $10 per month to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. Help us get the ideas of liberty on more great radio stations around the country. We've got over 190 stations that air the show at various times throughout any given week. We can hit more than that. We can do 250 or 300. It is possible, but it does take time. It does take effort, and it takes a little bit of money, too. So we appreciate Dale and the rest of the Free Talk Live amps over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We go back to Dan in Nebraska. Dan, you're back on Free Talk Live. And nobody, you asked to hang on to Dan here.
Well, as specifically to other countries, and I guess we should recap a little bit.
Yeah.
We've been, the allegation has been made, or the statement has been made, that the United States has less of a tendency to lie to other countries than the Soviets, or I'm sorry, the Russians. And I'm assuming that we're excluding the Soviet Union from that, which was famous for its tendency
dishonesty
to lie.
Yeah, I'm not going to defend the Soviet Union.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I'm not even going to prosecute them. They're dead and let them rest in hell. But the a couple of incidents that I can think of off the top of my head are, one was called the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which was our excuse for entering into Vietnam, if I recall correctly.
That's correct.
In which they claimed that the Vietnamese had sunk a ship in the Gulf of Tonkin, which they did not sink. There was,
in order to get people to want to go to war.
Yeah. So, I mean, usually the target of disinformation is your own population. There was also the sinking of the Maine, which caused us to enter into the Cuban-American War, I think, or the Spanish-American War.
I don't recall.
But it was again, the sinking of a ship that did not happen the way they claimed, and that provided us with an excuse for war. It's very common. I certainly can't list all of them, and you have to remember that we are exposed.
Yellow cake.
Well, that was the weapons of mass destruction,
which he blew off as a mistake, and that was a straight up lie.
It seems clear that they were lying, and they knew they were lying, and that I can't remember exactly what the evidence was, but Colin Powell was famous for going in and making some statements to the U.S. Congress which were false. And any statement made to the public is made not only to your population, but also to the rest of the world. We were trying to strong-arm every nation in the world into our war with Iraq, and I'm saying we, although I do not take...
United States federal government.
The government is not my circus, and the politicians are not my monkeys. But that's just a few. And all the incidents that I talked about earlier, MK Ultra.
Do you not think that to an extent, but that Americans, but maybe the governments of the time and the people of the time have never apologized for some of these older ones, and even the Iraq-related debacle, but, you know, the people in America largely, and also even a lot of people who've held, like, high public offices have come to terms with the truth about these events, that they were mistakes, there has been truth and reconciliation for many of the unfortunate situations like this that have come about as a result of the United States. Russia, however, has been doing targeted disinformation attacks, trying to influence the elections in other countries, including the United States.
Oh, the United States would never influence another country's elections.
You do realize that a lot of Russiagate was actually a Hillary Clinton disinformation campaign.
That's a conspiracy theory, dude.
She's got a lawyer indicted right now for lying to the FBI, claiming that he was not representing any client when he delivered the Steele dossier to them, when actually he was billing Hillary Clinton for that time. So what you think is a conspiracy theory, those are the lies that we haven't proven yet. The government doesn't admit to the lies that it tells until it thinks that the American people will be ready to reconcile themselves to it.
Or until it thinks the American people will go, oh, well, that was a long time ago. They just made some mistakes back then.
Well, I want to focus on a different aspect of this, Dan. All right, let's accept your premise that Russia's way worse than the United States. Okay. Now what?
Okay, so are you talking about in the grand scheme of the whole Ukraine scenario, or are we talking about how our response to the Bucha thing should be?
Well, I don't know. You were the one calling in about this, making claims that Russia was so much worse, and then gave all kinds of examples of the horrors of the United States government.
Well, I'm not here to make a really specific, like, type of prescription for action from the government. What I'm saying, though, is that your guys' claims that this is probably fake, that Russia's claims that it's probably fake are just as good as the claims of global journalists and Western fact-checkers who have looked into these matters. That's where the problem is really for me.
When you say
this happened today, what Western fact checkers are you talking about? Russia pulled out 4 days ago. Yes, it did. Today is the 4th. They pulled out 4 days ago, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah. So this happened today.
Over the weekend, allegedly, the massacre had occurred.
Yeah, after the Russians had pulled out. Then the media came in and they were like, oh, look, suddenly there's all these dead bodies. And Russia's saying, hey, look, no, investigate it. And Ukraine's saying, Russia did this. I don't know why you. I'm more inclined to believe Russia in that scenario.
Actually, said in Russia's own statement, they said that it was because a battalion of neo-Nazis came in and shot civilians up after they already left.
Okay. Well, you do know that the Ukraine has handy and available for use battalions of neo-Nazis, right?
He denies that. We've brought that up with him.
You're
before,
not aware of the Aziz
Azov, I think.
Azov, yeah. Okay, faction that was that grew out of the World War II Nazi collaborators, yeah. And that until recently you could not praise on Facebook because they were Nazis?
Dan, thanks for the call tonight. We didn't say we agreed with what the Russians were saying. We've always said we don't know what the truth is. But one thing's for sure, I don't believe the Western journalists that you seem to give all the credit to.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
And then there were two
Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski joins colleague Susan Collins of Maine, saying she'll vote yes to confirm Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. This as a full Senate vote to confirm Judge Brown Jackson is expected later this week. Ukrainian forces are releasing images of Ukrainian bodies lying in the streets of Bucha, claiming Russia's military is leaving those bodies after they retreated from the city. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, says there shouldn't be any hesitation in getting Ukrainians the weapons they need.
These latest revelations must only strengthen and intensify our resolve to get the Ukrainians what they need on the time frame they need to liberate more towns currently under Russian control.
This is USA Radio News. The president is unveiling his trucking action plan at the White House on Monday. The plan is supposed to help address supply chain issues in the United States, the president crediting truckers with helping the U.S. economy recover.
I want to thank you all keep what you're doing to keep America moving, because that's literally what you're doing, especially these last 2 years, helping carry the nation literally on your backs.
Critics argue President Biden's plan doesn't address the real issues that are hurting truckers, such as rising gas prices and COVID-19 vaccine mandates. The White House thinks Russia should not be a member of the UN Human Rights Council. Press Secretary Jen Psaki calling their membership ludicrous during a briefing. She believes the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations will call for Russia's suspension from the council this week. The White House has accused Russia of committing war crimes in Ukraine. USA Radio News.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Whatever's on your mind here. The number 603-283-6160. What does Elon Musk have in plan for Twitter? Or can he do anything with 9.2% of the public stock for the mega big tech corporation that he just bought into? Apparently, I guess it was before... Apparently it was earlier today, like in the, what do they call, after-hours trading or something like that. He bought a huge chunk of Twitter stock. Price jumped up by about 25-26% as a result of that. But I did mention earlier, and we're going to talk about that more, but I did mention that Jack Dorsey, the former CEO of Twitter, current CEO of Square, had said something kind of surprising the other day, just a couple days ago, on his Twitter profile. He says, quote, "The days of Usenet, IRC, the web, even email with PGP were amazing.
Yes.
Centralizing discovery and identity into corporations really damaged the internet. I realize I'm partially to blame and regret it."
He's absolutely right about that. And, you know, a lot of the technologies that I think about when I'm thinking about, for example, how to decentralize Cell 411 would be better served by things like passing messages through Usenet, okay, because Usenet was a situation. It was a federated.
Still exists.
Yeah, it still exists. It's pretty much overrun by spam, but it doesn't matter because, you know, what I'm thinking about wouldn't involve subscribing to new groups. But basically, anybody could set up a Usenet server, mm-hmm. and again, you don't get your feed from one single place. You would connect, or back in the day you didn't, you would connect to many different Usenet servers, and when your server connects, it says, okay, I have these messages and I need those messages, so what do you have that I don't have? What do I have that you don't have? And because there are many, because you're doing this with many groups, you can't firewall it, because as soon as you hit a server that has a message, it flows past whatever censorship has been put in place, mm-hmm. and that's why the phrase was coined by I can't remember his name anymore, but he was a libertarian who was involved in the initial development of the internet, and he said the net interprets censorship as damage and routes around it.
I hope Jack Dorsey isn't beating himself too much. I think the centralization of the internet, as we've seen it over the last few years, was sort of a natural progression of the concepts, and I think the decentralization of it is the next step in mm-hmm. the progression in the concept that is the internet.
Or the re-decentralization.
Like, right. So yes. Just like, you know, we saw the internet expand into these ad trackers, and where Google, Facebook, and Twitter became, you know, the ultimate gateways through which everyone else found everything else on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see a movement away from all of that, the ads on YouTube, the ads, the everywhere, and we're going to see more movement toward basic, early Web 1.0 style websites, I think, where you're just going to go to a website, you're going to get the content you want, you're not going to see 18 different social media share bars and 13 different ads and 15 different ad sponsors.
What about this Web 3 conversation?
That's what's beautiful. The techies, the big tech companies like Google and all of these others, they want Web 3.0 to be all about, you know, NFTs and blockchain and stuff like that. I just don't see it happening. I think Web 3.0 is going to be a lot. It's going to look a lot more like Web 1.0 than 2.0.
What is Web 3, though?
I don't know. Is that what they're calling? Because the guy who developed the HTTP protocol and the HTML markup language is involved with he's trying to start a new generation of the internet. Is that what you're calling?
I don't think
Web 3?
I think Web 3.0 is just another one of these buzzwords like metaverse. Or NFTs or whatever. They're just like, it's going to be this next big thing. It's going to be great, and everyone's going to love it. But it's so badly defined or vaguely defined that it's meaningless to us as a concept.
So CoinDesk has taken a crack at defining it here. This is an article from December of last year, updated actually apparently within the last week. What is Web 3? Well, they say to understand Web 3, we have to understand what came before. So they talk about Web 1, which you just kind of identified, Aria, this sort of static.
Yeah, guest books and all of that great stuff. You go to a website, you sign their guest book. Yeah.
Yeah, and
that was old school stuff.
The stuff that that Dorsey is talking about is not Web 1. It's before Web 1. It existed before there was an HTTP
protocol.
You're
talking about Usenet and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, Usenet and that kind of thing predate the web.
Correct. So they point out that websites weren't particularly interactive back in the, you know, like the late 90s. You couldn't do much apart from just read things and publish basic content for others to read. Brian Brooks, CEO of BitFury, put it in this way. He said, if people remember their original AOL account, it was an ability to look in a curated walled garden at a set of content that was not interactive but was presented to you on AOL in the way that Time Magazine used to show you the articles they wanted you to see inside of their magazine. Just you could see it on a screen. Web 2 came next. Some people call this the read-write version of the Internet, in reference to computer code that lets you both open and edit files rather than just view them. The version of the Internet, or this version of the Internet, allowed people to not only consume content, but create their own and publish it on blogs like Tumblr, Internet forums, and marketplaces like Craigslist. Later, the emergence of social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, took content sharing to a new heights.
So, and I would call that Web3, because really there was a huge change. It's a whole new generation when you go from Blogspot
to
Facebook.
Later.
Yeah, from MySpace, Blogspot, and all of those to Facebook and Twitter. You're right. There was a huge
MySpace
change.
Is almost in between, but I would say I would put it in the category with Facebook and Twitter, because it's primarily user created content.
So Facebook,
and it was meant for end users to connect and find one another and actually, you know, not get ads served to them. I don't think there were ads on MySpace back in the day.
And what makes more sense is for everybody to be operating their own server and for those servers to speak to each other.
But we went in a more centralized direction with these mega corporations like Facebook, Google, and the like. They say after a while, the general public became cognizant about the way their personal data was being harvested by tech giants and used to create tailored ads and marketing campaigns. Facebook, in particular, has been on this has had the spotlight shown on it innumerable times.
As you pointed out, man, they are so terrible at it. Like, I ended up buying tickets for Incarceration, which is a music festival back in July, and the next day, Facebook serves me ads for this. I'm like,
oh, yeah, it happens all the time.
Some poor company wasted money to have this advertisement served to me after I already bought tickets to it.
I see it constantly, not just on Facebook, all over the web. All the ads, it's always stuff I've already purchased.
Yeah, it's horrifically bad.
They got hit with a fine for it. Anyway, although Web 2 has brought the world amazing free services, a lot of people have grown tired of the new walled gardens these huge tech companies have created and want to have more control over their data and content. This is where Web 3 comes in. Web 3 can be understood as the read-write-own phase of the Internet. Rather than just using free tech platforms in exchange for our data, users can participate in the governance and operation of the protocols themselves. This means people can become participants and shareholders, not just customers or products. And so what he sounds like he's talking about here is decentralized finance would be an example, I think, of Web 3.0. A decentralized autonomous organization would be an example, something that gives the user governance over the thing that they're interested in.
I think that's what tech companies want Web 3.0 to be. I just don't think that's what the people want.
But we're going to continue here. We'll talk about it. What do you think Web3 is? Because you're hearing it all over the place, like the whole metaverse thing. The number is 603-283-6160. You can also join us and bring up whatever's on your mind. We'll talk about Elon Musk. Is he going to be taking over Twitter? This is Free Talk Live.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the Legal Helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and phones are open if you want to join the show here. We're talking a little bit about tech. What is Web 3.0, for instance? And is Elon Musk going to be taking over Twitter? He's got 9.2% of the stock at this point, and maybe he plans to buy more.
No. Or maybe other people will throw their lot in with him. And this could be existing Twitter stockholders. If you think Twitter is going to make more money as a free speech platform, or if you have an interest in free speech in its own right and you hold Twitter, chances are Elon Musk will accept a proxy.
Now, can you imagine what Elon Musk could have done with $3 billion in promotion of the Mastodon network?
Well, okay.
Couldn't have gotten the mainstream population on it. That's the problem, is what you're buying when you buy Twitter is you're buying
the audience,
not the senders, but the receivers.
Yeah, and that's the strongest argument you've made, nobody, as far as his tactics here. And we're going to get deeper into that. But just to talk further about what Web 3 is versus Web 1.0 and 2.0 is what we were just talking about a moment ago.
And I would argue you can't define Web 3 yet. Because
it's not here yet.
Yeah, in order to define Web 3, we have to see it adopted.
Mm.
So these are suggestions about what Web 3 should be.
Well, I mean, there are decentralized autonomous organizations. Dash, for instance, the cryptocurrency, was the first arguably decentralized autonomous organization. There have been many others since then. Now there's one called Assange DAO, which raises money to try to help Julian Assange.
Yeah, but no one is going to try to say that Dash is Web 3.0, right?
Well, I think they would if we're holding to this definition of ownership of...
They are a thing that could run on Web 3.0, but they themselves are not Web 3.0. Web 3.0 is this great, big, fake concept.
they're not even web. There's a thing that the web does, which is allow you to publish content and access content that other people have published, and that's not what Dash does.
Well, there are aspects that are available on the web. For instance, if you're a Dash masternode, you can go to websites that allow you to easily interact by submitting proposals that they can all vote on, and so there's some web interaction. Like the governance aspect of these decentralized organizations is almost always done over the web.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my main issue with what this article is saying is it sounds like their description of what Web 3.0 is a business model, whereas, you know, the whole idea of decentralized organizations, where the Web 1.0 and 2.0 were not business models. They were technical ways of publishing and accessing content.
Yeah, but see, these people don't care about that. What they're interested in is creating this new paradigm filled with buzzwords like metaverses and NFTs and all these new, exciting, fresh concepts that they're just going to throw in this catch-all term that they're calling Web 3.0, and it's going to wow everyone, and everyone's going to love it. That's what they're talking about here. CoinDesk, it sounds like they have a more concrete example of what sort of things may exist in Web 3.0, but Web 3.0 itself is just this vague concept of glorious ideas that tech companies want to put forward and they want people to adopt, but there's no evidence to suggest.
They just certainly want a venture capitalist to invest in their Web 3.0 ideas.
Yeah, and just like with the metaverse, there's absolutely no evidence that the average person is remotely interested in this stuff. NFT, still no evidence. The average person is interested in making money because they're seeing all of these people making money off these tulip bulbs, so they're interested in that aspect, but the technical aspects of NFTs, they don't care.
About the technical aspects of things. I mean, when you flip the light switch on, you don't care about how the energy gets from point A to point B and, you know, turns the light on or whatever. You just care that it works.
Yes, but it's very easy to flip a light switch. It's significantly harder to purchase an NFT.
True. That's true. And it is a pretty early days as far as this technology is concerned.
Well, also, it's more useful to flip a light switch because you get light.
Yeah. they say here that the Web 3.0 concept of read, write, own is that users can participate in the governance and operation of the protocols themselves. This means people can become participants and shareholders, not just customers or products. In Web 3, these shares are called tokens or cryptocurrencies, and they represent ownership of decentralized networks known as blockchains. If you hold enough of these tokens, you have a say over the network. Holders of governance tokens can spend their assets to vote on the future of, say, a decentralized lending protocol. According to their expert quote.
I tend to agree with your assessment here. They're trying to get big investors into this, but I don't see any utility this has for the average person who just wants to post about their grandkids' vacation or whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, how many people who use Twitter, to take this back to Twitter, right? So even though Twitter isn't quote-unquote Web 3.0, how many people want to govern Twitter? Most people wouldn't want to get involved in the back and forth between the different sides of the board of directors and backing Elon versus backing the old guard versus, you know, all of the drama.
Well, in the DAO, I don't know that that's how things work.
You better believe there's people arguing over how the DAO should work, right? Like one
guy's decentralized autonomous organization.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one guy's got a proposal for the future of the organization. He makes a pitch for it. Some other guy says no, it's a terrible idea, and he makes a pitch for it. And they have it out over a forum and over chat rooms.
We've seen this with Dash in the past, haven't we?
Sure.
Over various proposals.
Dash, we had a proposal once that Free Talk Live would get advertising from Dash, and we did for a period of time, and then at some point somebody said that wasn't, you know, a good way to spend the money, and so then we didn't, and the organization made a different choice, and that's fine. It's just that how many people want to be involved in the minutia of running an organization? I think you're right about that, Aria. I think most people will have no interest whatsoever in Web 3.0.
Well, I don't know. Most people don't write code for Linux, but a lot of people use it. And sure. If I'm understanding correctly, and it doesn't need everybody to be writing code for it.
Right.
So it may well be that what they're describing here is how Web 3.0 will be delivered, or how it will be governed, rather than what it will produce. Because what you're looking, the consumer product is definitely not the ability to write protocols or to
no doubt
argue over protocols. Most people don't even know what a protocol is.
Or to argue over marketing the protocol, or to argue over, you know, who to hire to write the, that's all these things are
right.
Things that these decentralized
right. So what
groups
he's
do.
What he seems to be doing is akin to describing what Twitter is by describing stockholder meetings and preferred stock and things like that, but that's not what Twitter is.
That's
it's
right.
How it's governed.
But that's what he's arguing here. Now, of course, this is coming from CoinDesk, which obviously is a website that's all about cryptocurrency. But whenever I've read anything about Web 3.0, it's always focused on this decentralization of governance, basically, of things that you can, instead of just being a user of a thing, could be a part of how that thing operates under Web 3.0.
That's been my experience as well. But if 51% of that DAO decides that, you know, we don't want Twitter to actually publish content anymore, it sounds like what they're trying to do here is just create a new method to sort of figure out what the market wants and to implement that instead of just letting the market tell them what it wants, as markets tend to do. Well, Twitter is popular because it's offering a service that people like. That's the end of the story. You don't need to have a bunch of tokens and have people voting on.
This is the end of story because, and this is how I think this article...
I didn't even finish the point.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You don't need a bunch of people with tokens out there saying, I vote my token that this is a good feature and that's a bad feature. People will just use the features they like and not use the ones they don't like, and they'll go to companies that have the features they do like and avoid the ones that have the features they don't like.
Well, but this is about having the company, in this case, be able to make those decisions without having a board of directors structure. It decentralizes the decision-making of how the companies decide what to, you know,
right.
to give to their users by going directly to their users and letting them have the input.
And the advantage of it is specified on Twitter's biggest unfeature. Their biggest unfeature is that they silence any voice that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very difficult, I think, for an organization which was decentralized in both governance and implementation to do that. So, for example, if you were running something where what the equivalent of miners did was serve content rather than crunching numbers, okay, then if one miner didn't want to serve your content, somebody else could. And that's another way of looking at what I was describing with the pods. I can't remember if I said that on the air or off the air.
We'll continue in moments. Hour number three is coming up. They actually do have a segment here of criticism of Web3, so we'll touch on that on the way. Plus, Twitter is definitely the old method of doing things with a board of directors, and now is Elon Musk going to be sitting at the board with 9.2% ownership in the company?
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.